right. Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. Glad to have you this morning at this hour. And we will get into our lesson here in just a moment. I'm going to veer off our lesson path just a little bit, and I'm going to get into something different this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, I hope you have your Bible with you this morning. We're going to go to the book of Daniel. That's where we're going to begin this morning. I've got several different passages of Scripture for us to look at, but we're going to begin this morning in Daniel chapter number 6. And actually, I'm going to kind of pick up with a thought of something that I gave back on Wednesday night. And last Wednesday night, we in our Bible study, we were looking at the life of Joseph, and he will be one of the individuals we'll look at this morning. I'm not going to begin with him, but want to look at him this morning. I want to talk to you just a little bit this morning about something that we as believers must understand, that there is a difference between obedience and blessings. I'm afraid sometimes that I actually had a thought from a church sign that I looked at this past week as well. I'm afraid so often in today's day and age that we live in that a lot of people are teaching something that sometimes, to me, it can be a little bit scripturally incorrect. I think a lot of times people assume that if you are obedient to God, that you will be rewarded because of that. Now, are we blessed this morning? We are blessed this morning. We are blessed from God this morning. I'm not saying that God does not bless those that are obedient, but I'm afraid sometimes that it's almost to the point in Christianity today that we feel like if we're obedient, then God deserves to give us a reward. And I want to kind of look at that this morning as well. There's so many people in the Bible that we could look at, and we're going to look at this morning. Just because you're obedient to the Word of God, we ought to do that because we know it's right to do, and we ought to want to do what's right according to the Word of God. But on the other hand, you can't sit back and just expect, well, I was obedient to God today, I went to church today, so God bless me, give me my reward. It's not going to work that way, and we're going to look at that this morning. So we're going to veer off a little bit from the book of Isaiah, and we're going to start, though, in the book of Daniel, chapter number 6. Let's pray first and begin with a word of prayer, and we'll look at our lesson this morning and look at some things that I think can help us this morning. Let's do pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you once again for this day that you've given to us. And as we come this morning, as we unite together, as we assemble together, we pray, Lord, for your blessing. We ask for your blessing this morning as we assemble, as we open up your word. We pray that you would speak to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us. And Lord, help us to do more than just be taught. Help us to learn. And Lord, help us to do more than just be taught and learn, but help us to go out and practice what we know to do this morning. And we pray for your blessings upon the hour. We pray for those that are sick this morning. We pray for those who have no doubt many prayer requests that are present this morning. And God, we pray that you would supply those needs this morning and answer the prayers of your people this morning. We pray once again that your blessings be upon all of our missionaries and missionary works that we support this morning. We pray that you would help supply their needs. We pray that you would give them fruit for their labors. And we pray, Lord, once again for the lost, that they would see their need of salvation. We ask, Lord, for your power, your wisdom this week, that we could live in this life, live in this world, but Lord, yet be a testimony and a witness to those that need to be saved. And I pray that for many that they would see their need this week of salvation, that they would trust you as their personal Savior. And Lord, we pray for that. We pray for revival in our land once again. We ask for your help, Lord, spiritually in our land as we need your leading and your guiding. Help us to always look to you for the answers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daniel chapter 6, we'll get into a few verses here in just a moment. But on Wednesday night, I spoke a little bit about the life of Joseph. And I mentioned at the end of Wednesday night, and I didn't get time to really work and go into it very deep, but on Wednesday night, I spoke about Joseph, and I mentioned how that Joseph, if you'll study his life, you'll find that there was often many times that he suffered because he did that which was right. He made right choices in life, but because of those choices that he made, even though they were right choices, you'll find that even the life of Joseph, there was times that he suffered because of doing that which was right. Now, I also mentioned last Wednesday night that I don't know of anything any harder in the Christian life than to know that you have done what is right, what God has asked of you to do through His Word or through prayer or answer prayer or God leading and guiding in your life. There's nothing any harder in the Christian life than doing right and yet have to suffer because of it. That's tough. I mean, it's hard to swallow sometimes why you have to have all the problems that you have, all the difficulties that you have, all the struggles that you may have in life, and yet you know you're doing what God asked you to do. And it's really hard when you know you're suffering because of the choice that you made to do right. I mentioned Wednesday night that it's a little easier to accept in life when you are struggling because and have problems and difficulties in life because of maybe some things you've done wrong in your life, and you understand I'm suffering because of a bad choice I made. That's kind of easy to accept. I'm not saying that we like it, but it's easier to accept that in life. But boy, it's tough when you know you're suffering because you did that which was right. And I think that's one of the hardest things sometimes in the Christian life to accept in life is suffering because of the right choices that you have made in your life. Now, there's a lot of confusion today, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, between the connection of obedience and also blessing. I'm afraid so often in the Christian life, there are far too many people teaching today that if you'll just do what's right, you're going to gain all these things in your life and God's going to bless. And there are blessings that come from God for doing that which is right. But we cannot, as a believer this morning, do right, make right choices, and then in return expect God to reward us. You'll find all throughout the Bible, there's a whole lot of people that did right and they suffered because of it. And we're going to look at some of those this morning. Most Christians assume that if they are obedient to God and they do what is right, they deserve a reward. There are many people that believe that just because they go to church this morning, that they're going to receive some reward this week. You can't go into life and you can't live your Christian life doing right and making right choices because you expect a reward in return. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't bless because of our faithfulness. God does bless. I'm not saying that God doesn't maybe give a blessing to an individual for doing what is right and making right choices. We know that when we do right, make right choices, opens up a path in life for us to follow. And when we follow that path, there are blessings that come along with it. I understand all that. But I also want you to understand that there's another side to it as well, that there are many times in your Christian life where you're going to do the right thing and make the right choice, and you're going to find out there are going to be times that you're going to suffer because of it. For instance, we'll get to those this morning. I had you turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel is one of our examples this morning of someone who does that which is right. And because he does that which is right, he is going to suffer for doing that which is right. Daniel is one of our examples. In Daniel chapter 6, look at verse number 10. Verse 10 is very key here to the life of Daniel. You know, prior to this, that the king was kind of tricked a little bit, if you would, into signing a law that will actually go against the principles that Daniel lives by in his life. Daniel was a man of prayer. We know that. Daniel's going to pray at least 3 times a day. He was very structured in his prayer life. He was very deliberate in his prayer life. And because of his prayer life, it's going to get him into some problems in life. You'll find in verse number 10, very key. Now, when Daniel knew, and the word knew, K-N-E-W, is a very key word. Daniel knew. He already knew before he ever prays that there's a law signed that prohibits him from doing what he knows to do that to be right, something he's done every day in his life, and that is prayer. But in verse 10, and when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he already knew that it was law. He already knew that the king established a new law that would be illegal for him to pray as he has done every day of his life. So we find in verse 10, and Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime.
The last little phrase is important as well. It's not something new that he started doing. It's something he's always done. He's done this every single day. He gets up, he prays. He prays three times a day, as we find here in verse number 10, even though all of a sudden the king decides to make it a law against doing that. We find here that Daniel continues to do what is right. Now, it didn't, you're going to find, here's what we find here. Let me move on. We'll look at a few more verses. So Daniel knew in verse number 10 that it was against the law. He knew the law that was signed and the writing that was signed by the king, but yet it didn't stop him. He went into his house. His windows are open as it's very accustomed to there. And you'll find here that he kneeled upon his knees three times a day. He prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Nothing new. Very structured in his life. He's not going to change his life. He's not going to quit praying just because the king signs a new law that prohibits him from doing that. So Daniel makes the right choice. You see that? I mean, he's doing what is right. Then we go, if you would, down, and you know the story of how that they run to the king, said, hey, Daniel's broken the law. He disobeyed what you've just signed into the writings and so forth. So the king decides that he has to follow through with a punishment, and that is going to be that Daniel is going to be cast into the what? Y'all help me out. He's going to be cast into the what? The lion's den. So we find here that the king follows through. Now, the king is very reluctant about it. He's very saddened that he has to do that. He realizes that he was probably tricked into signing that writing, that law, but nevertheless, he has to follow the law that he signed himself, and so Daniel is cast into the lion's den. Now, we read this story, and of course, we know what the outcome is, and we kind of breeze over it real easy about what takes place in the life of Daniel, but I want you to understand something here. God does not deliver him from the lion's den. He goes to the lion's den. Are y'all with me this morning? So we find that here the king, he runs down. He doesn't sleep well that night. Early in the morning, you'll find in verse number 19, the king gets up early in the morning and he went to haste to the lion's den, or the den of lions, to find out, did the lions eat Daniel? You find he came to the den in verse number 20. He cries out with a loud voice unto Daniel. And in verse 21, Daniel responds, and he said, Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. So you find here that Daniel says here that as he was in the lion's den, God didn't spare him from the lion's den. God allows him to go to the lion's den. Now, something very key here that you'll find, that Daniel responds and says, God sent an angel. And the angel of God shuts the mouth of the lion. Here's what I want to get to real quickly this morning, and you're going to find it in every point and every example we're going to give this morning. God did not deliver him from the lion's den, but God does meet him in the lion's den. You see, there are going to be times in life when we make the right choice and we do what is right. And there are going to be times that we're going to be cast, so to speak, into the lion's den. It's not where we want to go. That's not where we want to spend the night. That's not what we want to take place in life. But God allows us to go through some things in life. But the key here is that God met him in the lion's den. God was with him. You see, there will be times in the Christian life that you will suffer. You will go through some hardships. You will endure some heartbreaks and some devastating days in your life, and God's not going to remove them from you, but God will be with you as you go through them. It's a little different, and we're going to look at several examples this morning. It's a little different than this idea, well, I prayed three times like I'm supposed to, so God deserves to reward me. God's not going to allow me to go to the lion's den. God does allow him to go to the lion's den. And I'm just using this as an example here this morning. Now, does God bless? Sure, God blesses. How does God bless? God shuts the mouth of the lion. The lion doesn't eat Daniel. Daniel survives the night in the lion's den. And then after that, he's able to come out of the lion's den. And you know the story about the life of Daniel and how he's greatly used of God. Was Daniel used greatly of God? Mightily used of God. But it doesn't mean that he does not have to suffer a little bit along life's path. You know, I know we don't like to maybe acknowledge this sometimes, but in the Christian life, there are days of suffering. It's not always a mountaintop experience in the Christian life. There are times God allows us to go through some valleys. God allows us to go through some things that we wish God will spare us from, but God chooses not to spare us. God allows us to go into the lion's dens of life. But the key is here that God met him in the lion's den. And God blesses and God takes care of him. And Daniel ended up in the lion's den because of doing right, but yet God spares him and God blesses even though he goes through that. You're in Daniel. Let's go over to chapter 3. Let's go backwards a little bit. Let's go to chapter 3, and we'll look at someone else this morning. We find in chapter 3 of Daniel that we're going to look at the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know the story of the three that we find here. You'll find some interesting points about them. But in chapter 3, if you would look with me down at verse number 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said of the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. So you know the story. They're in front of the king. They have to give an answer of accusations that have been made against them and so forth. But you'll find in verse number 17, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. You'll notice here, they didn't necessarily say that he would deliver them, but they said he's able. He's able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, verse number 18, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We're not going to do it. You see, the law stated that they had to bow down, if you would, to the image or the golden image, if you would, and actually worship this golden image. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, we're not going to do that. It's not right for us to do that. That's not our God. We serve the God of heaven. We serve Jehovah God. We're not going to bow down to this golden image that you have created with man's hand. And you know what? They mentioned here in verse number 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Let me say this real quickly. God does not spare them the fiery furnace. Now, we understand that they don't burn up in the fiery furnace, but God, listen, God does allow them to go into the fiery furnace. Am I right? He didn't deliver them from the fiery furnace as far as them physically have to go into the fiery furnace, and God didn't keep them maybe from the fiery furnace, but we find, and you know the story, how that they are, in fact, the king gets so mad in verse number 19, so full of fury, that he tells them in verse number 19, at the end of the verse, I want you to turn that furnace up 7 times hotter. You'll find that they command Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And we find that they do take them and they do cast them into the furnace. Are y'all with me this morning? Why? Why were they cast into the fiery furnace? Give me a name. Why? Why were they cast in there? Because they didn't what? They obeyed God. They didn't bow down to the idol or the golden image and so forth. They did what was right. Are you with me this morning? So the king takes them. He gets so mad at them. He turns that furnace up 7 times hotter. And they take the three and they cast them into the fiery furnace. You'll find in verse number 21 they were bound. They were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. You'll find that they go inside the flame, if you would. And you know the story. The king comes and looks inside, and he questions the guards. He said, did we not throw in how many men? Three. Now, I think he looked two or three times, or maybe several times. Maybe he had to take his glasses off and look, put them back on. I don't know. But when he looks in, he sees how many? Four. He said, the fourth man is the, it looks like whom? The son of who? The son of God. Here's what I want to get at. God did not necessarily keep them from going in the fiery furnace, but God did meet them in the fiery furnace. Are y'all with me so far? Have you not found it to be so amazing of how many people in God's word suffers because of doing the right thing, making the right choice, but yet in the suffering is where God meets them and does something very special for them? You see, God didn't keep them from the fiery furnace, but God did meet them in the fiery furnace. Here's what I want to get at. There will be times in life that you will make the right choice and you do what is right according to God's word. And because you do what is right and you make the right choice, you may have to go through a lion's den. Or you may have to go through a fiery furnace. So that's not what I expected. I expected God to, you know, reward me for making the right choice. Well, it just depends on what you call a reward. Was Daniel rewarded? Sure he was. He was spared. God's angel shut the lion's mouth. God gave him another day of life. God didn't let his life end that day. You know, we're all rewarded today. You want to talk about rewards, we're living today. We never really think about how that you know, because we were able to rise this morning and we're breathing God's air this morning and we're actually living this morning, our hearts are pumping inside our bodies. Hey, we're rewarded with a day of life today. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made the right choice. They didn't bow down to the golden image. That was the law. That's what they were required to do by law, but they chose to do what was right. They chose to abide by God's law rather than man's law. They'd still go to the fiery furnace, but God met them inside the fiery furnace. Go to Genesis chapter 39. We're going to kind of jump around here real quickly here. Genesis chapter 39, and this is a little bit of where we were Wednesday night. Kind of got my thoughts going in this direction for the week, but in Genesis chapter 39, you'll find that you have the life of Joseph. Man, what an example he is. I mean, he made right choices after right choices after right choices, but yet he kept suffering and suffering, and he'd take one step forward and two step backwards. He couldn't get ahead. I mean, you ever heard the old phrase, he can't win for losing? That was Joseph. I mean, he couldn't win for anything. I mean, he did what was right. He made the right choices. He did what God would want him to do. And in Genesis chapter 39, verse number 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which he had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And you'll find that even, and I don't have a lot of time, I want to go past this one this morning, but you'll find that, you know, God didn't keep Joseph from being a slave to Potiphar, but God was with him, as we find in verse number 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. That's so key this morning we understand. God is not always going to keep you out of the slavery or out of the lion's den or out of the fiery furnace. There's times God's going to allow you to go through those things even though you made the right choice. But God will be with you. And when God's with you, that's all you need. You know, we don't like this, but let me say this. There will be days you will suffer in your Christian life. But the blessing is God's going to be with you. You see, you'll find that God didn't keep him out of the prison. But even when Joseph went to prison, God was with him. I mean, even when he was thrown in prison, God prospered the life of Joseph. You see, God didn't stop all the what we would call negative things of life. He didn't completely shield him from all the hurts of the world. But God was with him. Here's an example. Jesus Christ was obedient and they crucified him. Just because you're obedient in your Christian life doesn't always mean that now you're going to have easy street next week. Listen, just because you go to church on Sunday morning doesn't mean that you're not going to have any problems this next week. Did you hear me? We got too many churches today just telling people if you come to church, you'll be blessed all week long. Really? I don't know that Daniel felt that way when he first went into the lion's den. I don't know if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego felt that way when they went into the fiery furnace. I would imagine the first few steps inside the furnace were pretty tough. I don't know if you were to ask Joseph a little bit that every time you make right choices that, boy, you're going to be so blessed next week that's going to solve all your problems. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes by being obedient to God is going to create some problems in life. Let's not forget we do live in a sinful, wicked world. Let's not forget this morning you have an enemy called the devil this morning. You know, when you come to church on Sunday morning, I don't know that you make the devil happy. I don't know that he gets happy because you're here this morning. I look at it sometimes and think, I think the devil looks at who's here this morning and thinks, I got to work a little bit more overtime on them this week. You see, we are distorted sometimes in our view of obedience and how it's linked to blessing sometimes. This sounds weird to the human being, but sometimes going through the fiery furnace is a blessing. Sometimes going into slavery is the blessing. Going into prison may be the blessing. Going into the lion's den, that may be the blessing. Because it's in those dark days and dark nights that you're going to find out that's where God steps in and God is with you in those dark hours. When God doesn't deliver you, but rather joins you, you know you're exactly where God wants you to be. Too many Christians, I'm afraid, in life like to talk about what God's Word says we are to do in our lives. But yet, far too many Christians actually live what they say we ought to live. You ever found that to be true in life? Well, the Bible says, you know, I've struggled with it, but the Bible says, you know, do we realize this morning we like to think about God's Word, we like to consider God's Word, but far too many fail to act on God's Word. Far too many do not put to practice what we know we ought to do. For instance, my wife, I think, went to the doctor. The doctor this past week. We had a dog that got snake bit last week. Take him to the vet and so forth. And even the dog has medications he's taking this week. You know, I've always found to be true. When you go to a doctor and the doctor examines you, they're going to do several things. Number one, they're going to check your what? Blood pressure, right? They're going to take your temperature. They're going to do certain things. They may listen to you breathe, and they'll examine you, and then they'll maybe take blood at times and check your blood count and some things there and so forth, and then they'll finally come back and say, yeah, you're a sick person. And they get out a little white pad, and they start writing. Now, it's all computerized now, but it used to be they had a little white pad, and they would scribble some things on there, and don't try reading it because they can't even write. You ever notice doctors can't even write? And I thought my handwriting was bad. They're going to write you a, what do they call it, a what? A prescription. You ever thought about what does the word prescription even mean? They're going to prescribe. You know what that is? They're going to tell you what they need you to do. And they may write on there, and then you have to go to the Walgreens or wherever you go to pick up your prescriptions and so forth, and you're going to find that on that piece of white paper, and then they're going to put a label on the bottle, and on that label or on that prescription, the doctor's going to tell you what to do. It may say take 3 times a day. It may say take morning and before bedtime. There are times it may say take with a meal. You get that piece of paper and that prescription and so forth, and you leave. You go and choose whether or not you're going to follow the doctor's directions. You don't have to go get it filled. You don't have to purchase the medication they prescribe to you. You can actually go pick it up and not take it. But if you don't take it, more than likely you're going to stay sick. And then if it says take 3 times a day, it's not just a suggestion. They're telling you it's not going to work unless you take it 3 times a day. Well, I don't really like taking it 3 times a day. I think I'll just take it every other day. I've got news for it. It's not going to work. Well, what does it mean, take with a meal? I don't have to eat a meal. Just take this. You take it, and you're not going to feel so well. Now, if you don't follow the directions, you're probably not going to get well. Same principle applies to the spiritual life. We know this morning that our spiritual prescription is the Word of God. And God expects us to obey it. Was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego obedient? Sure they were. Was Daniel obedient to the prescription God had for him? Yes, he was. What about Joseph? Did he do what was right? Joseph did that which was right. He obeyed the principles of God, if you would, in life. But it doesn't mean that you're not going to suffer even though you take the prescription every now and then. But our biggest problem today in Christianity is we got far too many that's not even trying to follow the prescription. But sometimes obedience, making a right choice, doing what's right, is going to bring some situations in life that we're not going to like. I'm afraid so many Christians today have got this idea that, boy, you just go to church and you pray, and, boy, God's just going to bless, and, I mean, boy, all your problems are going to go away. I don't know about you this morning, but all my problems haven't gone away. Is there anybody here this morning and all your problems are gone? Nobody has any problems. Anybody here this morning? So everybody here is just a problem person sitting in the pew. Is that right? Brother Dwayne, you ever have any problems? Wow. Brother Yandel, you ever have any problems? You're at church, you shouldn't have problems. That's the way most people believe this morning. Oh, you just come to church on Sunday, and boy, God's going to bless you this week. And I'm not saying that God doesn't give us a blessing. I think just being here is a blessing, number one. Being alive, breathing air this morning is a blessing this morning. But don't come and sit in the pew. Well, I did more than go to church on Sunday. I went to Sunday school and church. God deserves me 2 rewards. God doesn't deserve you anything this morning. Goes far beyond the pew this morning. You go out into the world this week and you live right and you act right and you do what's right and you do all that God would ask of you to do in the week, but at the end of the week you find out, you know what, I still have a lot of problems. That's not a bad thing this morning. But the great thing about being a born-again believer this morning is God's going to help me and God's going to go with me through the fire. God's going to go with me when I go to the prison or when I go through the trials of life or when I go into the lion's den. God's going to meet me there. You see, this morning, we need to learn to obey and do what's right. And, you know, a lot of times we just need to obey and do what we know that we are to do in life. I mean, we pretty well know. I'm not saying we've got it all mastered and we don't have it all down pat this morning, but we have a good idea this morning what God would have us do in life. The problem I find in my life, I have a hard time just doing what I know to do is right. But God expects us to do what we know to do. Daniel, Joseph, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Did they know what to do? Yes, they knew what to do, and they did what they knew to do and do what was right. They were obedient. Yes, they suffered for doing what they knew to do, but don't confuse obedience and blessing sometimes. Just because you're obedient sometimes in the Christian life doesn't mean you're not going to have to suffer every now and then. Sometimes making the right choice is going to bring about some suffering in life. I wrote this: God doesn't always remove us from difficulty, but rather gives us power to go through the problems. God meets me in the problem. All right, let's go to the book of Acts. Let's go to the New Testament a little bit. Let's look at the life of Paul. He's a prime example in the New Testament. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 21. If you would, go to Acts chapter 21. We'll look at something here real quickly in the life of Paul. Paul's a perfect example in life. Was Paul a good Christian? Paul, let's be honest, Paul was a pretty good guy. And in Acts chapter 21, let me read just a couple of verses here. Let me see where I want to go. You'll find in verse 27, I'm just going to kind of lay a little bit of a foundation here. When the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him, talking about Paul, in the where? He's in the what? He's in the temple. Paul goes to church. Stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. You'll find out in verse number 31, and as they went about to do what to him? Killing. There were people that hated Paul so much they wanted to kill him. Was it because Paul was doing what was wrong in life? Because he was a criminal? Because he was a mass murderer? Because he was whatever in life? No. You're going to find, I mean, Paul is such an example to us this morning of doing what is right, making right choices in life, but you're going to find out life, ask Paul, was the Christian life an easy life to live? You're close there. Keep going. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, we're going to look here a little bit more in detail. Some of the things that Paul lists in his own life of what he had to go through in life because he did the right thing in life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's go down to verse number 23, and I'll hurry here and try to get us out on time here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look with me down at verse number 23. Are they what of Christ? Are they what? Ministers of Christ. I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent. Means he's in prison, probably more than he's out of prison. In death, oft. There's a lot of days I almost died, Paul says here. In verse number, look at verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Boy, he's blessed. How would you like to have Paul's life? You see, you read the life of Paul, you just thought you had problems this morning. I wonder how Paul would feel about this new movement of preaching. Boy, you come to church, God's going to bless you. Boy, if you'll just give to the church, God's going to give back to you tenfold and blah, blah, blah. And boy, if you'll just come and sit in the pew and be faithful and give and make sure you give, boy, God is just going to, I mean, God's going to just overbound you with so many blessings, you're going to have it on easy street. Tell that to Paul. We read verses 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, verse 28. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, and on top of all this, I still got something. I still have a job. I still have a church and churches to take care of and tend to and make sure they're taken care of, tended to, and so forth. And Paul's not griping and complaining here. Paul is just revealing unto us that as a minister of Jesus Christ, doing what was right, making the right choices in life, doesn't always mean that life's going to be easy street. He just came this morning and thought that you had a lot of problems. Life hasn't always been easy for me either, but I don't know if I want to switch places with Paul. You go over to chapter 12. Look how Paul responds to it in verse number 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in blessings. Is that what it says? Does it say I take pleasure in rewards? No, but he does say, he says here, I take pleasures in infirmities and in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And if you know anything about Paul and you study the life of Paul, you'll find here he's not saying I'm strong in my own strength. What makes Paul strong is God. God makes him strong in the infirmities and in the problems and the beatings, imprisonment, starving, in watchings often. It means in watchings often, it means that he almost had to sleep with one eye open. You ever heard that phrase a little bit? Why? Because there's people trying to kill him. His own countrymen even tried to kill him. Paul says, I gained strength when they tried stoning me to death. When they beat me and they took rods and beat me with a rod. He said, you know what I find? I find pleasure in that. Now, let's be honest. I don't know that we always live that way. I'd like to say that I always just praise God every time a problem comes, but I don't. Something very key here that we'll look at in the life of Paul, chapter 13. Very key verse here, verse number 5. Examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. What's Paul getting at here? Paul says, it's not me, and it's not by my strength that I was able to endure everything I just gave you. Paul said the reason I was able to endure all of it is because Christ dwells inside of me. You see, you'll never make it through the problems in your own strength. You're not going to make it through the lion's den, the fiery furnace, the prison, the slavery, whatever you want to look at in the Bible. It's not you that's going to carry you through that. It's going to be God that carries you through that. God doesn't always spare you the suffering. God doesn't always spare you the troubles of life and the trials of life. But I will promise you this, as a believer who trusts in Him, God will be with you through those problems. See, this morning, I'm not promising you, because you came to church this morning, that life's going to be easy for you, that all your problems are going to go away. I'm going to tell you this morning that probably more often than not, you may actually have to suffer a little bit this week because of the right choice you made today. Because this world is a tough place to live. And just because you're a believer this morning doesn't mean everybody's going to love you. We have a missionary sitting right here in our midst this morning. Just because he's a missionary and his wife are missionaries this morning doesn't mean that everybody's going to love them this week. It doesn't mean because, they surrendered to the mission field, all their problems are gone, or all your problems gone. You probably don't have problems over in the Philippines. They got it made over there. Right? They probably could come up here and tell us some problems that you wouldn't even dream of having in life. Let me tell you why they have to suffer and why they have problems in life. Because they're doing what's right. Did you hear me? Because they're doing what's right, what God called them to do. And just because God called them to the mission field and just because God called them to the Philippines doesn't mean that all their problems are gone. Doesn't work that way. And boy, this old world is going to squeeze you and it's going to try you. I'll end with this. A sponge. If you take a sponge and you put it in water, the sponge is going to absorb the what? It's going to absorb the what? The water. You pick the sponge up, you hold it, and all that water is inside that sponge. You can't see it, but it's there. Now, if I were to take my hands and I wring that sponge, what's going to come out of it? What's going to come out? Water. Why? Why is water going to come out? That's what I put into the sponge. You see, in life, your life's like a sponge. This world is going to squeeze it at times. And that's when we're going to find out what you're really made of. Because when the world squeezes, we're going to find out what comes out. Let me ask you this morning, if the world squeezes you real tight this week, what's going to come out? You see, I can tell you what's going to come out, what you put in it. Sadly, sometimes there's believers that when they're squeezed, curse words come out. Anger, frustration, meanness. And on the other hand, there's some believers this week, you're going to get squeezed. And you know what's going to come out? God's going to come out. But I promise you this, the only thing going to come out of your life when the world squeezes it is what you put in it. You fill your life full of trash and junk and garbage all week. When the world squeezes, that's what the world's going to see. And my, do we not have a problem today that we live in? Too many Christians are being squeezed and the world's watching. You know what they see coming out? A lot of worldliness. You see, there was a day when Daniel was squeezed. But praise be to God, you know what came out? God came out. There was a day when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their life was squeezed like it's never been squeezed before. And boy, their faith was put to the test, and they were pretty sure God was going to spare their life. But if he chose not to, I'm just glad when they were thrown into the fiery furnace and when the world squeezed on them, I'm glad God came out. Question for us this morning, and I'm done. When the world squeezes you, and even though you went to church and you've got perfect attendance, I remember as a child, I'm getting off track. I remember as a child going to Sunday school, we had teachers that would put our names on this poster board, and they had every week on the of the month through the year down through there. If you came to Sunday school, you got a little star put on. Anybody ever remember that? We don't do that too much anymore. And if you had perfect attendance, you got a reward. But just because you came to Sunday school this morning, and even though you may have perfect attendance this morning, I promise you it does not prevent the world from squeezing you. Just ask Paul. Did the world squeeze him? Squeezed him pretty good, did it not? But every time the world squeezed, God came out. So the question is, and we're done, we're going to pray. When the world squeezes you this week, what's going to come out? Words that you regret saying? Anger? Hatred? Meanness? Hopefully that's not us. Hopefully this world, or this week, when the world squeezes, the love of God comes out. Because I promise you, just because you do what's right today, and by the way, we ought to do what's right, and we should do what's right, but don't expect easy street just because you made a right choice. That's not scriptural. Because problems do come to good people. You know the old saying?
bad things do happen to good people. But even though you may be going through some dark days, God will be with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We pray for your blessings upon our time this morning. We pray for the blessing of the preaching of your word today. May we open up our minds and hearts. May you work. May you do a work in our life. May you change us. May we be all that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.